It's a kavod for me to be with such choshev choshev Jews, Achenu Beis Yisrael, that we have each other, to mechazik each other. To enter together into the Yemei HaRotzen, to these days. My biggest feel is that we should be zoche to be together to see the avoid of the Kohen Gadol Beis HaMikdash. And is Yaakov here? Where is Yaakov Hagler? Yaakov's not here. We'll be here soon to thank my dear friend Yaakov for this service, for this chaskas, for all the years of devotion, and that Hashem Yisbach should give him good health and the whole family simcha nachas, and all the chaverim from the shul who are always busy helping and setting up and getting things and doing things. For me, the hardest, but the sweetest two words are not words that we commonly use in Lashon HaKodesh. Asonu Lecha means we've come to you, Hashem. We're coming to you. We're back. We're here. Asonu Lecha, Hashem. There's a Torah from the Arugas HaBaisam. There's a Torah from the Arugas HaBaisam to help us to make the first baby step. With chilu rechimu, with great fear and with great awe. The Arugas HaBaisam says that you have a person who borrows from a friend. In the Gemara we always speak of Reuven and Shimon. Sometimes Reuven's the good guy, sometimes Shimon's the good guy. Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven has been borrowing money from Shimon. One time, two times, a third time. The only thing that's consistent in Reuven's behavior is that he never pays back. Understand, since Be'etzim Reuven is a very fine person, he's just come upon hard times. So he's embarrassed to come again a third time. He's embarrassed to ask for halva, for a loan. Since by this time, at this point, he knows that Shimon knows that it's unlikely that he's going to pay back. He has already a chazaka, he's already established himself as a person who doesn't pay back. And therefore, l'cha Hashem astok al v'onu b'shas upon him, it's very, very embarrassing to ask for a loan when you know that you can't pay back, and to come again and nachamal and nachamal again and again. The Arugas HaBaisam says that's when we're talking about a loan. Listen carefully, when we're talking about a loan, a halva, a loan. But if a poor person doesn't come to ask to borrow money because there's not a hechet timsa that he would be able to pay back the money, but instead it's a poor person who comes to ask for a gift from Atona. So to come and to ask from Atona, so the wealthy person, the one who has, in our case, Shimon, there's no reason to turn Reuven away. If Shimon has the money, Reuven never claims to have the ability to pay back. He never said he would pay back. He's poor, he's desperate, and he's asking for a handout, not for a loan. So Aruch HaSabayim says that there's a din in Hashem's Torah, and Hashem's Baruch observes his own mitzvahs. And the din is Nasayin Titen, you shall surely give. That's not talking about a loan, it's talking about tzedakah. Nasayin Titen, you shall surely give. The Gemara says, Afilu Me'a Pa'amin, even 100 times, and 100 is just a number, even more than 100. Nasayin Titen, if somebody comes and says, I'll never be able to pay you back. I'm asking for matana because I'm desperate. So the Gemara says, Nasayin Titen. Even 100 times, Afilu Me'a Pa'amin. So we say, Rabbanu Shalom, this is how we start. And I'm sure that what I'm saying, you're all feeling just like me. Hasan Olacha, Rabbanu Shalom, here we are again. And you know what? We're here not for the 100th time, many, many more times than 100. And we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what are we asking for? What aren't we asking for? Each person that's here knows how much you need certain things in life. And I'm not talking about luxuries. Nobody needs those extra things. That's stama mishagas that we get for things. But what we need, bonai chayim is only to have good shiduchim. There are wonderful, wonderful young ladies here who are so chashiv, and young men who are so chashiv, and they need shidduchim. It would be good if we just fixed it right here. They need shidduchim. Chai to have life. There are people here who are worried about certain things with their own health, with the health of a parent, a child, lo aleinu. There are worries that you have, and we all have. And mizayni parnasa. Now the problem is that if we come to Hashem Yisbarach to ask for a loan, Rabbi Shalom, I need, if you could lend me a shidduch, if you could lend me a panosa, if you could lend me some life. So we know that in the past, when we've asked for such loans, we haven't really made good on them. In mitzvahs, in mass and toivim, the Baruch Shalom doesn't want, the Baruch Shalom doesn't care. Like my father's old gazelle, I used to always say, when I would thank my father never wanted to hear that. He would say, and I'd say, Daddy, you did for me. My father says, just be good. To buy a present for my father, a birthday present, or anything like that, my father would push it back and say that you do the right thing and be a good Jew. Give mommy and I nachas ruach, that's all we want. That's the hardest thing to give. And we owe so much to the Rabbanu Shalom. And Asana Lucha Rabbanu Shalom, we're coming to you, and we're not asking for a loan. Because you already know us that we're not so good with paying back the loans. With every year we come, Nacham al Slichas, Rashonim Kippah, Hav, give me a Sesame Tshuva. More loans and more loans. Lucha Hashem Atztaka, V'lona Baishas upon. So how dare we come again? With what right, with what schus do we begin to say slichas? How can we even start? So we're going to say in a little while, loy b'chesed, this is the Rebbe's Abayisim says pshat. Loy b'chesed, v'loy b'masem b'onu l'fanecha. Loy b'chesed, we're not coming to you because we're trustworthy. as the Mefarshim explain, we're not coming to you b'masim toivim because we are worthy and we have good deeds, mitzvahs, masim toivim, that we can give you back. So we're not coming b'tayres halva. We're not coming for a loan, because alone, be'emes, we know that we haven't paid in the past. Last year, Slichas Rashaim Kippur, we all had so many plans. Loi b'chesed v'lo b'masim bonu l'fanech. So how dare we have the chutzpah as a sponim to come to you when we know that we can't possibly pay you back for anything and everything you do for us. So the teretz is kedalim ucheroshim defakt mevlasecha. We're not coming to you b'teretz halva. We're not coming to you to ask for a loan. We're coming to you plain and pasha to ask for a gift of life for another year for ourselves, for our loved ones, a gift that the children to watch our children, to watch our parents, to watch us. A gift that when we make that turn around the corner, we come home, everything should be okay the way that we left it. Loi b'chesed v'loi b'masim kedalim u'chiroshim d'afak u'blasecha. We're asking you, Rabbi Shalom, for a matana, for a gift, because we don't know how to pay you back. And Rabbi Shalom, you said in your Torah in Nosan Titein, I feel a mea pom, the Gemara says, that if somebody comes and says, I don't think that I could pay you back, but I'm asking you for a matana, a gift. So the Torah says, Nosan Titein, I feel a mea pom, to give a gift. And that's what Arugas Abayisim Shchusi Agen Lenu says. But I was thinking, everybody knows that even though what the tzaddik says is true, and that's the halacha of the Torah, you know, sometimes you get one of the chevra, the mishalachim from Yerushalayim, when I'm in Yerushalayim I meet them, when I'm not in Yerushalayim I meet them, and one of the chevra comes and he asks you for something and you say, weren't you here last week? So, what's he supposed to tell you? He says, you're right, I was here last week, and I'll be here again next week until I finish collecting the money that I need for my daughter's chasna, right? But after a while, even a person that's coming to ask for a matana, that comes to ask for a gift, it's not so poshut. Nosan Titein, Hashem wants us to be givers. I feel a mea problem, and even 100 times if someone comes to you to try to reach in and take and to give again whatever you can. But how do you ask for so many gifts? So listen, my boys, I want to share with you something. I spoke a little bit last week, I raised the inyan last week. We were talking about different ways that Hashem is referred to, different descriptions we find in Tanakh for our relationship with the Creator, with the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is a king. That's scary. A king. The Rebbeinu Shalom is a father. That's better. I mean, it all depends on what you remember about your father. But that's usually better than a king. And there are exceptional times when the Rebbeinu Shalom comes to us like a chassan or his kala, and then we feel good. But the most astounding name that Hashem prides himself, and he calls himself, and a relationship that he has described that he has with us is the name that he uses in the entire Sefer of Shir HaShir. What name is that, Rabbi Yisai? Dog. A doid. On the way to the Chuppah, Nesois Doidim, the joy, the rejoicing of the beloved, Doidim. It's the most amazing thing. And Shir HaShirim, which is the love song of Kudshei Brichu for Knesset Yisrael, of the Kala, the Chasn, the Chasn, the Kala, it's Mamish, the Chuppah, the Yichud, it's everything. And there, in that story of Kol Daidi Hinezeba, the voice of my beloved, Anila Daidi V'Daidi Li, I am for my beloved, and my beloved is completely for me. In that love story of Hashem Knesset Yisrael of Chasn Kala, the name that Hashem Yisbarach has chosen to use for the Chasn Kala is so unromantic. Daid. A daid means an uncle. Everybody knows that. A daid means an uncle. We're so used to the words L'cha daid, you never thought about it. And a few weeks ago, there was a Shevet Brachas in our family, and I was zoicha to say a few words. I don't know if my niece, I love her so much, I don't know if she's here, and my new nephew, who I love. And I was zoicha to say, the Shevet Brachas, a few words about this. About, you know, from an uncle's perspective, the word died. And I explained at the Shevet Brachas that there are two types of closeness, two types of kirva, of closeness in the world. There's the kirva, there's the closeness of krovim, of relatives. In English, it's sometimes called blood relations. The kirva of relatives brothers and sisters, parents, children, uncles, relatives, kirvas krovim. That's one type of relationship. And the other type of kirva is a kirva of a husband and wife. A relationship that was discovered a little bit later in life. And the chiluk is obvious when it comes to blood relatives. To krovim. There a person, when it comes to an uncle, an aunt, an uncle, a person is born in the world and there's a metzias that comes with him or her into the world. When he's in the world, he has an uncle, he has an aunt. This is a metzias. It's not something that was chosen, not something that was looked into, that was sought. That's what it is. A person has krovim. There's no nekuda of bechira. There's no point there of choice, of wanting, of choosing. It is what it is. That's the kirva of krovim. That's the uncle, a nephew, a niece. On the other hand, the kirva, the closeness of a chasn and kala. Of a chasn and kala, that kirva, that closeness, is one of choice. Sof kol sof, it's a decision that's made, and there's much thought that's put into it. And now more than ever, the milus, the chesoinus, and wanting, when you want something and you make that choice, the ahava, the mila, the greatness of that love, is called in Chassidus an ahava ke'esh, a love that's like fire. Because it's a love that I made myself. The Chasn Kala ignited this fire and they found each other. And because of that ingredient of Bechira, of free choice, there's fire, there's passion. On the other hand, because marriage is a matter of choice, it's a matter of bechira, and because it has that semblance of something that is man-made, so since it's made by human beings, it could also be destroyed by human beings. And therefore there's a parasha, which just 2 weeks ago in the Torah, there's a parasha of gerushin, of get, of a divorce, lo aleinu. Some of you here, Lo Aleinu, have suffered from that in your past. It's a terrible, terrible thing that two people who chose each other and who wanted each other and who stood under the chuppah in love with each other, but self kol self, where there's bechira to create, there can be bechira to destroy. And therefore, even though there's a maila, there's a benefit to a hava ka'eis, to love like fire, because the choice and the freedom of choice ignites such a fire, but the fire can be extinguished, as it often is now more than ever. Masha'ena came when it comes to the kirva of kroivim, of the uncle and the nephew, the niece, relatives. When it comes to the kirva of kroivim, it's over there, even though it's not a matter of choice. But it was created by somebody and somehow beyond your choice. But because of that, even though it's lacking in that dimension of fire, it's not a fiery relationship. It doesn't have, of course, that element of passion and of warmth. But what it has is the maila of nitzchius. Nitzchius means it's forever. It's nitzchius. It's unbreakable, it's unchangeable. So listen, when Shlomo HaMelech came in Shir HaShir to describe the greatness of love between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael, so we describe the Ahava in Song of Songs in Shir HaShirim as the Ahava of Chosn and Kala, because there is no love as great as Chosn and Kala. That ahava, that fiery ahava, there's nothing greater. But he described it, Shlomo HaMelech described it using the term that Hashem revealed to him, this amazing thing. Anila daidi v'daidi li kol daidi daifek. The voice of my uncle, of my beloved, Messiah daidim. Because Shlomo HaMelech was revealing this, that the love between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael has in it those two elements. It has in it the ahava ka'eis, the love that's like fire of a chasn kala, the feeling that I want this, it's my choice, and if I had any choice in the world, I would only choose Hashem. And Hashem is Baruch has every choice in the world, and He chose us. It's a matter of choice. But at the same time, the Baruch Shalom defines that relationship as a relationship of anila daidi, of an uncle. Because in halacha, everybody knows, the closest blood relative that one can marry is an uncle. It's the closest blood relative, in other words, it's the highest level of kirva that one can marry. It means that it's the highest madrega where both of these madregas can be included. That there can be a mitzvah, it's not a common thing, and it's not recommended. But in halacha, there can be such a mitzvah of kol daidi hinei zeba, of kol daidi, meaning anila daidi, of an uncle as a chosn, of a niece as a kala, where there's an ahava, where the ahava is ke'es, because they're chosn and kala, but the ahava is a love with all of its ups and downs, and all of the disruptions and interruptions. But the ahav is a love that's forever. It's a davar nitzchi. It's unbreakable. It's unchangeable. So when it comes to Elul, and Elul, and now we're crossing over from Elul into Tishrei, and in the bechina of Elul is anila daidi v'daidi li. It means that the Rebbeinu Shlomo knows that during this time of the year, each and every Jew, each and every person who stood at Har Sinai, every one of us who remembers, we come to the Rabbi Yisrael and to the Daid, and we're Isaac now in the Cheshbon HaNefesh. We begin to think the whole year, we're worried what other people think about us, what other people say. And now, suddenly, Asonu L'cho, we're coming to Hashem Yisbar, Lo'ev HaChesed, Lo'ev HaMasim, Kedalim, Chirashim, we're coming to you, Rabbi Shloilam, and each and every one who makes a Cheshbon HaNefesh, who's thinking about all the things that we did this past year that we shouldn't have done, and the things that we should have done that we didn't do. So when a person makes a cheshbon nefesh, he feels, ah, it must be that by now he's sick of me. How many times can I come to him? He must be sick of me, because I remember I did this and I didn't do that, and what I said and what I did and what I looked at and what I thought about, and all the things of this past year. That each and every one here has his own pain, the pain of his own failures, his own shortcomings. And Lanu Baishis upon him. So the Baruch Hu, the Doid, leans down from Shemayim. He whispers into the ear of each and every person, so it's a brachin, because each and every person feels that I can't possibly come again. It's like a game. I'm coming again, Machaslichis, again Rosh Hashanah, again Avim Malkeinu, again Hashem Elokim in the night. And then all the Chayvus are forgotten. I never give them anything back. So Baruch Hashem leans down and he whispers into the ear of each and every one of us, Ani l'daydi v'daydi li. That means, I'm your chosn, I'm your uncle. I'm your chosn, means I want desperately to have that ahava, that love of chosn and kalim. But I want you to know, Hashem tells each and every one of us, even if it hasn't happened, and you don't feel that way about me, and there are some people here, you know what it feels like when you're in a relationship, when you love someone and the love is not reciprocated. And Hashem has brought the Shechina HaKadosha, wants to be in a Chasam Kala relationship with each and every one of us. There should be a scarvis and warmth and fire. But the Baruch Hashem leans down to each and every one of us and says, and gives us the koyach to start again. And he says to each and every one of us, I want you to know, that even though you don't feel that way about me, I want you to know that I'm your uncle. And an uncle, I'm not only chosn, anila doidi, I'm an uncle chosn, which means that the ahava, regardless of how the relationship is going right now, it could be there's some problems, there's some bumps in the relationship, but the ahava is ahavas oylem ahavtonu Hashem Elokein. It's an eternal love. So therefore, how can we come again for a gift, for a matana? How dare we come for a gift? The teretz is to come for a gift. Chemla gedoyla v'yaseira chamalto aleinu. It's a halach in hilchas tzedakah. It's a din in the Rambam in the 10th parak of Matanas Laniyim. And it's a halach in Yeridei in Simin Reish Nun Aleph. And it's a posik in Torah. And the posik mitzarech like this alim, which means from your own flesh and blood, you never have to be ashamed. And the Rebbeinu with Klai Yisrael is libi u'besori. David HaMelech said libi u'besori means my heart, my flesh. Libi u'besori is such a term that the Rebbeinu has about each and every one of us. And we could speak to Hashem and say libi u'besori. My heart, my flesh. And the din with Libi, Bisaris, Bisarcha, like this island, you don't turn away. And even for a matana, for a handout, for a gift, and that's Tam and Ani. Any one of us comes to Hashem Baruch Hu, we're asking for life, we're asking for Simchas Achaim, and for Refuas, and for Yeshuas, and there should be Shalom Bayis, there should be good things for the children, for all of us. How dare we come to Teretzes, that the Baruch Shalom is our guide. And that mishpocha, and that chosn kala, and that which never ever changes in Ein Hachinami, we're kedalim, we're impoverished, and kiroshim, we're poor, we don't have anything, and mitzvah samasim toiva. And still we can come to him again and again and again. But of course, it's not possible to just be chas v'sholom takers and not to be givers. It's not possible. So what can we do? And what gift can we give to the Baruch Shalom? You remember I told you last year, last lichus, the last Torah that we had from Rabbi Gedal Yeshua, Zechat Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. Rabbi Gedal Yeshua barely was able to make it to students, Sheva Brachas. And the family was very upset that they even invited him to come. And Rabbi Gedal Yeshua said the din that you had to be mesamech chasn kala, to give the chasn kala a present. So So B'dai Yeshua, what's the greatest present that the Baruch Shem could give the Chasan Kala? Because Hashem's Baruch also gives a gift to the Chasan Kala. So B'dai Yeshua said the greatest gift you can give Chasan Kala, that Hashem can give the Chasan Kala, is the gift of forgiveness. That's the gift that Hashem's Baruch offers us. To his Kala, who's not always a Kala Noach Chesuda, it's a Kala a little bit Kemoisha, he's not so beautiful, the Kala. But what gift can we give to the Chas? What gift can we give to the Daid? To be Mesamech, the Chas. Each and every one of us knows, Ein Ladov Asayf, what we could do. The things that we want to do this past year that we didn't do, we should do this year. So listen to the mechazik ourselves, a very simple nekuda. We just read a few hours ago, we read this morning in the Torah, Ki ha-mitzvah hazayis asher anoich mitzavcha hayoyim. This mitzvah that I am commanding you today, Ki ha-mitzvah hazayis asher anoich mitzavcha hayoyim. It's not beyond you. It's not far away. It's not far away. Everybody knows this pasuk. It's not in the heavens. And Torah goes on. It's not across the ocean. It's very close to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And you know that there's a machlokes rishonim. What does it mean? Is it Torah? Is it tshuva? And so on. So listen, one of the great Bali Musa, Rabbi Leib Chassman, from the last generation, from our generation, Rabbi Leib Chassman asked a very good question on this pasuk. Rabbi Leib said that the derech klal, anybody that learns knows, and just how logic works, that you have what's called ahava mina, right? So everybody that learns knows ahava mina. It's even become part of the language. As you had ahava mina, that I would take out the garbage today. Things like that. You had ahava mina, that I would say a nice word today. Those are ways we use the word hava mina. Hava means that you would have liked to have believed that it would happen. That's called ahava mina. So Reb Leib asks, in ahava mina, usually the hava mina, what I thought, usually the hava mina, where there's in the hava mina, there's a mistake, but usually the hava mina is close to the maskana. No, the hava mina has some relationship with the conclusion. Somebody comes and says, that place, I have to go to that town, I believe it's 5 hours away. That's the hava mina. It's 5 hours away. So the person who would say, no, it's not five. I believe it's around four and a half hours away. That makes sense. Now, the hava mina was wrong, but it had a shaykhis to the maskana. You understand? I thought it was five, and the guy told me, no, it's four and a half. But what happens if somebody comes and says, I have to go someplace. I think it's 5 hours away. And the guy says, no, it's right around the corner. It's 5 seconds away. That's crazy, no? That's not normal. The hava mina and a maskana, that means what I mistakenly thought and what the truth is, it's usually that there's some sort of a connection, some sort of a relationship between the two. But listen to the pella, listen to the wonder of this pasuk. In the hava mina, we're worried, we're thinking, I, being a Jew, keeping mitzvah ha-mitzvah, ha-zois, where is it? It's out in Shemayim, far, far, a million miles away. And it's me'evel ha-yom, and it's across the ocean, that's what we think in the hava mina. Yiddishkeit, the Rebbeinu Shel, being a Jew is what? Is across the ocean, and it's someplace out in the galaxy, far away from here. That's the hava mina, that's what we're worried about, that's what we thought. And the maskana is what? The conclusion is, the Torah says, no. Ha-mitzvah hazois, this inyan of being attached to Hashem, loy b'shamayim hi, it's not a million miles away in heaven. Loy me'evel l'yom, and it's not across the ocean. You know where it is? So you figure, well, it's by the moon? That's not all the way out there. No, the Teretz says, Kor elecha dovim ma'oi. It's right around the corner. It's on the tip of your nose, on the tip of your tongue. It's right here in the room with you. Ki kor elecha dovim ma'oi, where? Beficha b'levav chamamish. So Blaibes, what kind of a pasuk is this? HaMitzvah azois, this mitzvah means tshuva, dveikis to Hashem, being a yid. We're worried that it's in Shammai and it's far away, across the ocean, and Teretz says, no. Kerv elach adav ha-ma'id b'fiich b'levach. What's the have of you? What's the maskan? He asked the question of Leib Chasim and he answers the question. Listen to the answer. Rabbi says, this is where we're holding now. Rabbi Leib says that to the outsider, for the person who doesn't taste of the sweetness, for the person who doesn't enter into the world, who doesn't jump into the world of closeness to Hashem, of real davening, of real learning, of real kiyum mitzvahs, to the outsider who's stuck in the havamina, who's always thinking about, maybe one day I'll be a good Jew. Maybe one day I'll do tshuva. Maybe one day I'll really daven. Maybe one day I'll really learn. Maybe one day I'll be a good parent, a good friend, a good husband, a good wife. Maybe one day. Whoever is stuck in the havamina, when you're in the havamina, when you're an outsider, it looks like getting there is what? A million miles away. You feel like you can never do it. When you and I, when we see a big tzaddik, we say, wow, that's really nice, but it's not for me. We admire, we respect, but I could never be that way. I could never be a person like that. You see somebody who's unbelievably kind and soft and good. We all feel, I wish I could be that way, but you know what it is? It's me'ever layom, it's b'shamayim, it's fafal, and it's so far away. I have no shaykhus to it. That's always for the outsider, for the spectator, to a Jew who lives in that world that's called Havaminas, which is a world of being a big Amharis. Can you imagine if all you ever learned in Shas were the Havaminas? That's the only part of the Gemara you ever learned is the Havamina. So a person who's on the outside, for him to be a big Elah Chayiv, to be a good son, a good husband, a good wife, a good child, a good friend, a good Jew, to give the Rabbi Shalom Nachas Ruach, to pay the Rabbi Shalom, we can never pay him, but to give back, it seems like it's impossible, because it's Me'ever L'Yav, it's B'Shamayim, it's a billion miles away. That's for the outsider. But when a person jumps in, a son l'chava coming to the Rebbe Yishol, when a person enters into the world of Yiddishkeit, and he starts living in the Havamina, and he enters into the world of the truth, of the Maskana, and he tastes it, how delicious, there's nothing more delicious than the what, than a Shabbos. You know how people look at us, all of us here that we keep Shabbos, you know how people look at us, they think that we must suffer from Shabbos. How can we tell people in the world what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos Jew? Everybody in this room lives for Shabbos. We wouldn't know how to get up. We wouldn't know what to do without Shabbos, right? We wouldn't be able to live without Shabbos. I had somebody I was talking to a few weeks ago, I was someplace, and he was saying, he's getting a little bit older. I said, have you thought about maybe getting married? And he says to me, who needs it? And he says, Allah like this, who needs it? So for him on the outside, or he maybe has seen, or maybe he in his own life experienced things that are not good. But Baruch Hashem, I could say that what it means for me, and the Simchas HaChaim, and the joy that has brought to my life, when you're on the outside, when you're in a Havamina, it looks like Me'ev Elayam B'Shamayim. But you know, they have an expression that I heard. It's used in a vulgar way when it comes to money, and money is, of course, only emotional for other things. You have to be in it to win it, right? There's such an expression they use. They're trying to get people to give money so they could make millions and millions and millions of dollars, which people have all kinds of halaymas and so on. When a person enters into the world of Yiddishkeit, be'emes, and he tries, this year we're going to try, everybody to get up to daven b'tzibur. And everybody to try that Shabbos should be better. And everybody should try Kedushas Adiba, Kedushas Anayim, Kedushas Asnayim. Everybody to try when you enter into the world of Yiddishkeit. There's no greater Masikas when you're in that world. There's nothing that's better. There's nothing that's sweeter than being in that world. Because when you enter into it and you see what? The Kikar Velech Adovim Oiv Rabban Shalom, it's right here with me. Everything I ever wanted is right here. It's right next to me. It's right here. You know how many times you have this? You have a child, and the child is afraid of something. The child's afraid of school, or the child's afraid to start something new in his life, in her life. And the parents know that the child has those koyches. And it's so frustrating. And the child believes that he or she is a million miles away. It's me'eber l'yom, it's b'shamayim. I can never be that person that will bring my mommy and daddy that kind of nachas. And the parents are saying, you can. And the kid says, I can't. Because the parents know that kikar v'lecha gavim ha'oid. The parents know that it's so close to the Yankala. It's so close to you, Sarala. You could be this way. And it'll give you such simcha to see that you could be this way. You don't believe it because it looks to you like it's me'eva layam. It looks to you like it's in Shammai. It's not. It's karvelecha davam ma'oi, beficha belevavcha la'asayzah, to be this person that we know you can be. You know how a tzaddik look at us? If we had the eyes of a tzaddik, I want to tell you something. There was a huge Talmud Chacham in the last generation. I mean, the last generation wasn't so long ago. He was called the Ridbaz, not the Radbaz, that's the Ridbaz. Rav David Vilensky, the Ridbaz from Tzfas, of course, originally from Europe. The Ridbaz, a guy in Ireland, he wrote a parish in the Yerushalmi, it's a half-tzaddik yid. The Ridbaz had a dear, dear friend. A friend who he was together with in Volozhin. A friend who he considered to be the future tzaddik of the generation. They learned together by the Netziv. Some of you heard of his friend. His name is Rabbi Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook. And they were the dearest and closest friends. And there was a parting of ways that took place when they both came to Eretz Yisrael. The Ridbaz, there was an inyan in halacha with the Shemitah. They had a disagreement in halacha. But that's something else. The main problem that the Ridbaz had with Rav Cook, it was that the Ridbaz could not believe that a person as holy and a person as learned as Rav Cook could have joined forces, could have connected himself to the worst Rishoyim, to the lowest Shoyim HaTzoyah people, to the lowest Mechalli Shabbos, Erchlin, Avelis, and Treifas, that Rav Cook, as you know, befriended thousands of people, and he went out to speak to many, many Jews and so on of this type. And the Ridbaz was from the old school. And the Ridbaz was very upset that Ish Kemoicha, that a person of your stature, should lower yourself and lower the glory of Torah to choose what the Ridbaz called a very dangerous path in Avodas Hashem. The letter that Rav Kook wrote back is such a masterpiece, and it really needs to be learned over and over. I'll share with you one sentence. He writes back, Aval Haderach, he says, Haderach Shani Hailach Aleha, Bavadis Hashem is Baruch. The Rav Kook says, you should know, and there's so many terms of endearment and of love that he uses when he writes back to the Ridbaz about the old love that we had by the Netziv, by the Rebbe. And Rav Kook writes, Aval Haderach Shani Hailach Aleha, Bavadis Hashem is Baruch, the path that I'm walking upon in the service of Hashem, Yeda Adoini, you should know, Shahar be amalti aleha, I struggled a great deal over this. The Dami, the Bisari, with my blood and my flesh, the Moyach Atzmoisei, with the marrow of my bones,
With all of my koiches. Ad sheheir Hashem is, you think I just woke up one morning and had this idea that I'm going into Kiruv? He says, Ad sheheir Hashem is Baruch Barachimov, until the Baruch Shalom with his great love and compassion opened my eyes. Es einai lamay daleh, to live this way. Ulefanai einena derech musukona klal. This path that you call dangerous is not dangerous at all, the one that I've chosen. Ki in derech hakodesh yikarla, it's the path of holiness, that's what it should be called. And he goes on and he explains, listen carefully, our lives depend on this nekuda. Ubedoreinu, Rav Kook says, in our generation, Nisrabu, Nishomas, Rabbis, there are many, many Nishomas before Mashiach comes. In our generation, this is at the beginning of the early time of the 20th century, he wrote this. Sha'afo pi shein shveilois ma'oi. When you look at these neshamas, they are very low. Be'inyin ha'bechira. When it comes to what? The choices that they've made in life. Be'inyin ha'bechira, chasm kala choices. They've made very bad choices, these neshamas. Val Cain, and therefore, Haim Neguim B'masim Roim Rabim Ubedeus Rois Ma'oid Hashem Yishmerenu. Therefore, they are ill and diseased with all kinds of terrible actions and terrible ideas and ideologies of life. Mikol Malkim, listen, Rav Kook writes. Nevertheless, Or Hasegula, the light of what? Of the eternal bond of a Jew to Hashem Yisbarach, the light of Anila Doidi, of the uncle, of a father and a child. The Or Hasegula Meir Behem is shining within them. Val Kain Heim Chavvim Ma'od is Klolius Knesset Yisrael. Therefore, these Jews, even though they're filled with all kinds of bad things and terrible thoughts, but they love Jews. They love Klal Yisrael. The Choshkin, the Eretz Yisrael, they have a deep, abiding love for the land of Israel. The Teva Nafshon is the nature of the soul of a Jew. Therefore, if Kook goes on to explain, I understand that in the world of Bechira, they're messed up. The divorce, all kinds of tzaris in the marriage with Hashem, I know. But the school of Klal Yisrael, the school of these Jews is unblemished. And Araya, you want to see proofs of the school of the love of other Jews, the love of the land. The worry over the destiny of our people, of our nation. Anila Daiti. And Rabbi Sai, it's with this emunah, it's with this belief in what? In the school of Klal Yisrael, in Kedushas Yisrael, in Libi of Asari, in Kol Daidi Daifeg, is the belief in the love of the Daid, of the Kadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael that transcends all of the issues of our relationship, of the Bechira that we've made in our marriage with Hashem. All of the Havamina. In the Havamina, it looks to us like Hashem hates us. In the Havamina, it looks like Hashem is finished with us. In the Havamina, it looks to us like Hashem doesn't want us back. That's all not true. Hashem is not b'shamayim. He's not be'evelim. He karvei lecha adavim ha'ayim b'fichim b'levavcha. Therefore, you know, Bilam HaRosha, you remember? Bilam HaRosha, when he spoke about Mashiach, you know what he said? Ashurenu v'loy karv. I see him, v'loy karv, but he's far away, Mashiach. He's far away. And Chazal say, but look what the Novi Yeshaya said. Bilam says, Ashurenu v'loy karv. I see there's going to be a Mashiach. The Jews will have a good one day, but it's a long way, far away. The Novi Yeshaya says, Koyama Hashem Shimru Mishpat Vyasus Taka, Ki Kroiva Yeshuasi Lavai Vitsitkasi Legalis, Kroiva Yeshuasi Lavai. Listen, the Novi Yeshaya is saying this. There are so many things to that Russia inside of us, the Bilam inside of us says it's far away from you. Sometimes you say things you shouldn't say to the children. Sometimes you say things you shouldn't say to a wife, to a father, to a mother. And you think that you never ever could fix it. And Bilam comes and tells you, Asherenu, maybe, but Beloi Korov is far away. The Novi Yeshaya says what? Kroiva Yeshuasi Lavai. Vizikosi Lehigolais. Ki Korov Elech Adavim. You know what that means? That means it looks to us right now. How could it ever be in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua? What's going to be in Eretz Yisrael? So we have these people who with the only light that shines in them is the second light that Rav Kook was talking about. the light of the school, because they love Jews. They love Klal Yisrael. They want what's better for Jews. They just don't know. We don't see what's going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So to us, if you talk about how's it going to be, it's going to be, at some point, somehow, it's going to be good. That's Bilam, Ashurim Lekar. You know how a Jew talks, like the Navi Yeshaya. He krayva Yeshuasi lovai, v'sitkasi lehigolais. Krayva Yeshuasi means that in one second it's going to be called Harisha Kula Kyoshin Tichla. Umimselas Hazodain Pavim and Haris. In 1 second, Krayv Yeshuasi, it's close to us. The Ishmael is going to be gone. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. We're going to be with Mashiach Tzidkenu. All of us are going to be bringing karbanis and going up to our bayis. Krayv Yeshuasi Lavai. When you're in it, you see Krayv Yeshuasi Lavai. This is the time to get in it. That's the slichus. That's now Shariach Yerushalayim, to come in, to go away from that world that's me'evel oyamin b'shamayim. I'm going to share with you a story. You know the great tzaddik in Yerushalayim? Anybody who ever read the story of Rabbi Levine fell completely heads over heels in love with him, right? I can't imagine what it must have been like to have met him. Rabbi Levine. So one morning, Rabbi Aryeh was on his way to the Kaisel, to the wall, to daven, as he always did, to daven besikin, very, very, very early. And it was still dark. And he was walking on a little simta, you know, one of those tiny, tiny little, now they made it nicer, one of the tiny little streets. And it was dark in the old city. And he was so happy. He met there a little Swadesh Yid. We even have the name in the Sefer of this Jew. We even have the name. He met the Swadesh Yid that was hired by the city to sweep the street, to do it early in the morning before the oilam is going. So Rabbi comes up to this person, and the person recognizes the famous tzaddik Rabbi, and Rabbi says to him, "Ach, what a mitzvah yikara! Oh, did I find something in the street? I found something so beautiful, so wonderful. I found a beautiful Jew. I never thought I was going to see anybody in this street." And he says to him, "Safra Tava, good morning, Yehudi Yakar, precious Jew. I'm just telling you what I saw in the Sefer." And not only does he say good morning, and this Yid says he's at the same time so excited and so embarrassed. So he says, "Boker Tov Kvod Harav, good morning, Rebbe." And while he's saying Boker Tov Kvod Harav, this Jew, his name is, it says in the Sefer, is Yehuda Harush. I was thinking we have a friend Yitzhak Harush. I don't know, maybe it's Mishpoch. So this Yehuda Harush is so embarrassed, he starts to put the broom, but this huge push broom, you know, he tries to put it behind his back. He's embarrassed. And he's 30, you know. So what does Rabbi does? Rabbi leans over and he starts to make nice to the broom. He gives this Yid with one hand, he pulls it next to him, he gives him a hug, and he starts to make nice to the broom. And Rabbi says like this, listen. Rabbi says, "Oy, echani mekanebecha, I'm so jealous of you. Eizeh schut atzuma." So that's how he said it to this guy. "What a gewaldige schus you have. Kol boker ata oset yushlam yafe yoter, nikia yoter. Every morning you have a schus to make Yerushalayim more beautiful, more clean. What a schus." Rabbi says, "I'm jealous of you. Yerushalayim ir ha'elokim. Yerushalayim, which is the city of God." So listen, Nebuchadnezzar, this Yehuda Harush answers back. Kvod HaRav. He says, "Rabbi, atem oskim b'Torah, atachai b'Beit HaMidrash. Rabbi, you're learning Torah all day. You live in the Beis Medrash. Vani," listen what he says, "ani, me, ma ani, u ma chayai, who am I, and what is my life?
And he throws the broom on the floor, and he says, Zevel, three times, Zevel, garbage. Zevel, Zevel. He looks at himself, Zevel, that's my life, garbage. Abaye screams out, Chalila l'chala daberka. God forbid, how could you talk that way? Eze schud nifla'a l'cha. What a schus you have. L'taher v'chavot ir ha'elokim, to purify the streets of the city of God. She'yeh l'yehudim na'im yoter, that it should be more pleasant for Jews. L'ha'ir et olamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to illuminate the world of Hashem. Terem or Hashem is before the sun has even come, you're already lighting up the streets of Hashem's city. Baruch Tehiyeh, you should be blessed. Yehuda Harish said this story 20 years after that. He told that there was something, I don't know what it was, that there was some gathering, and Yehuda said over this ma'isa, and he said, when he told over what happened, he said, Mitatei, he said, a broom. L'pam harishona, for the first time in my life, Hegashti datzmi nasich, I felt that I was a prince. V'hamitateya kishavit hamalchut, and the broom was the royal scepter. The royal scepter of the prince was the broom that I was holding. Avraisai, Slichus, Roshani Yom Kippur, says Mitzvah Yom Kippur, Hashanah Rabbah, this time of the year, the Rabbeinu Shalom has met us in one of his little dark alleys of the world, and we're all embarrassed, and we try to put the stuff behind, you know, and we're dirty, it was a bad year. And we're all ashamed and embarrassed, Lo, Ilana Boish is upon him. And the Baruch Shalom is making nice. The Baruch Shalom says, listen, if you use this time of the year to clean up a little bit, to sweep up a little bit, to make yourself a little bit more beautiful, to make a Jew who's a shtik elokus, a piece of God Himself, what a schus each and every one of us has this time of the year. What a simcha it is this time of the year. What a simcha each and every one of us should look at this time of the year like princes and princesses who were given the royal scepter. All of our viduyim, all of our tefillas, all of our singing, all of our rikudim every second, all of us now for the next couple of weeks, next month, we're all mamish in the mikveh of the Rabbeinu Shalom, mamish in the mikveh, purifying ourselves, purifying Klal Yisrael. What a schus we have. The Baruch Shem should help us that we should use it well. And in that schus, we come to you, Hashem Yisbarach, again. And we're a little bit shy, and we're a little embarrassed. And we know we made a mess. But we're anxious and thrilled that you've given us another chance to take the broom in our hands and to sweep up the mess that we've made. And to prove to you that next year will be shinier, and sweeter and more beautiful. And it should be in that schus, Yeshua that's right at the tip, Yeshua that's mamish around the corner. It's right around the corner. That it should be not just but it should be tzidkasi lehigalos, it should be revealed in all of its splendor.